Hi, I'm Samantha, a past guest on CJAM's Handy Link. You're listening to Handy Link on CJAM 99.1 FM, reaching high ground in Windsor, Detroit.
Hello and welcome to Handy Link, sponsored by the Italian Canadian Handy Capable Association. I'm your host, Cam Wells. In this segment of our show, I'll be chatting with Craig Ellis, who will be telling us a little bit about the work being done for the Hard of Hearing. So tell me a little bit about the work of the Hard of Hearing Society.
The Canadian Hard of Hearing Association represent over 3 million people in Canada that have hearing loss. We do advocacy work, training, speech reading classes throughout the country. We're working on a project called Spotlight on invisible disabilities. That's people with hearing loss, mental illness, things that you don't readily see. You know, you see somebody coming along in a wheelchair, you know that they're disabled or blind with a dog or with the white cane. People see that right away, but people don't identify right away with people with hearing loss. You wouldn't know that somebody had hearing loss unless they told you, or they had a cochlear implant, or you saw their hearing aids.
So, how do you go about spreading the word about the work you do?
Well, are you familiar with the Spotlight on Invisible Disabilities?
Vaguely, yes.
Okay, it's an initiative that's set up with a number of groups. The Canadian Hard of Hearing Association, the Canadian Mental Health Association, the Learning Disabilities Association of Canada, Royal Canadian Legion, and the Canadians Council on Rehabilitation and Work. Now, we do webinars and online training, online information for people to dial in and see what we're all about. We're trying to put the spotlight on this, trying to get more, especially in the new building when. People are really quick to accommodate for the disabilities, but we need more spotlight on people with invisible disabilities. How do we go about improving the lives of people with hearing loss and mental illness and so on? So it's a matter of spreading it through, doing, like I say, webinars and which have been very successful over the past year since we started the Spotlight program.
So, are there any major challenges in spreading the word?
Yes, I would say there are. Trying to get the word out there. Advertising is expensive if you do media advertising, as you know. Spread the word through other associations, trying to get their people involved, sending it out, letting people know that there's webinars coming up, and as more and more people see the webinars, and it is getting the word out there. It's slow, but it's coming.
So, to look at the converse side of things, in your time working with the Hard of Hearing Association, is there any success moment that stands out for you?
I think the biggest success has been in the past year with the Spotlights program. The federal government has in Ottawa has provided some funding, which she needs to do these things, and that's what's helping us get the word out there. So I think in the past year we've had some measurable success in getting the word out through this program.
So the webinars themselves, what sort of information do you try to get across most importantly?
Well, just that, there's trying to get the word out there for people with invisible disabilities, people with hearing loss, people with mental illness, trying to get, the stigma taken away, the veterans that are returning from overseas, trying to help them readjust into civilian life. There's a lot of stigma to that. Stigma obviously has been around for many years. People with mental illness, this webinar has been, I think, successful. We had a national conference in Victoria, BC recently, where we had a panel discussion that was live broadcast across the country, and we had about I forgot the number now, but it was quite a few people that actually dialed in. We could see the numbers as they were going up, people that dialed into the webinar, and we're watching the panel discussion. We had people representing all the five disabilities on stage and answering questions from the audience and from the people participating through the webinars.
So if you could send any message to the community about the need for greater awareness of invisible disabilities, what would you say?
Just that, people with invisible disabilities, it's just not apparent. And, if you're speaking to somebody and they're not answering you right away, don't assume they're ignoring you. They may have some form of hearing loss, and they're not hearing what you're saying, so they're not responding to what you're saying. So I used to work in the police department in Hamilton, Ontario here, and I used to do training for police officers. That if you're walking up behind somebody and you're giving them a command, they're not answering you right away, don't assume they're ignoring you, going away. They may have some form of hearing loss. So I think that's the important thing, is that don't make assumptions on people.
So what are the next steps for the Hard of Hearing Association?
I think the next steps are trying to get funding to do other projects, projects like looping, getting buildings, especially public buildings, looped, so that somebody with a hearing aid that has a T-coil in the hearing aid, they can hear what the people are saying. I know at the bank, if you go in the bank, you're talking to your teller and you're not hearing it, the teller has to raise their voice. People in the line near you can hear what they're saying. So if the teller was looped, the teller would be able to speak to you in a normal tone, and you'd be able to hear the teller through your hearing aid. Those things cost money, that getting that awareness out there. So it's I think what we need to do is fundraising through municipal, provincial, federal agencies and the private sector, trying to get the funding needed to get some of these projects going.
I'd like to thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
Okay.
The duty and the need to accommodate is a very real thing and a very necessary one. Fact is, accommodations don't stop just for the disabilities we can readily recognize. Person moves a little differently or maybe speaks a little differently. Yes, we can identify that more easily because many of us have more of a frame of reference. But I put it to you, are invisible disabilities really so? Or are we just accepting a first glance look and saying, yeah, we know what this person's all about? It can't be so limited, folks. Fact is, for those who are deaf or hard of hearing, recognizing this on first glance might be difficult, if not impossible. And we don't have the right, as a society, to make a presumption that just because a person didn't readily acknowledge what we were saying, that we are being ignored, that they're just not paying attention, that we're not worth talking to. No, it can be coming from a very real medical need. And if we don't take that into consideration with new buildings, new policies, new programs, we're doing a major disservice to these good people who can and would contribute to society. For the fact is, when an invisible disability is overlooked, it's the same as saying, you don't matter enough. We're not going to take the steps to include you. We're not going to take it upon ourselves to recognize that just because maybe you hear a little differently or perceive things a little differently, that you should be included. But the fact is, nobody has the right to lord their abilities and their achievements over any other person. Fact is, anyone with or without a disability has the potential to create and to make the world a little bit better than when they came into it. It's a question of opportunities and tools to do so. Play to a person's skills and they will always succeed. However, put up unnecessary roadblocks and they can get frustrated and say, it's just not worth doing. But to all those out there with a disability, or maybe who are just suffering a little frustration, the journey is always worth taking. If something in you says the world should be better in this sense, chances are it's the right voice you're listening to. Chances are it's coming from a place of knowing that we can do better by any person, that we as a people can maximize the potential of anyone. Build each other up, not tear each other down. Fact is, in the world, there are only two things people love in a good story: people being built up and people being torn down. And the more we understand about different types of disabilities, the more we can stand beside such people, create for them, give them not an unfair advantage, but equality and opportunity. And that speaks volumes about who we really are as a people, what we really value. Do we value technology and wealth, or do we value human ingenuity, the potential of human contribution? HandyLink will be right back after these commercial messages, so stay tuned.
A Detroit-based cultural arts organization, Heritage Works celebrates the beauty and humanity of African people and world culture through movement, music, and folklore. Heritage Works believes culture is a rich resource for promoting understanding as well as personal and artistic excellence. When children, youth, and adults know their heritage, they raise their gaze, lengthen their perspective, and lift up their expectations for their own lives. Understanding and sharing culture builds a sense of community, develops leadership skills, complex thinking, resilience, and a sense of appreciation, and creates curiosity, confidence, and love. People, especially the young, need to help claim the benefit of this inheritance, the help Heritage Works uniquely provides.
Welcome back to HandyLink, sponsored by the Italian-Canadian Handy Capable Association. I'm your host, Cam Wells. Earlier in our show, we heard from Craig Ellis from the Hard of Hearing Association. In this segment of our show, we'll hear from David Lipofsky, who will be giving us the latest on the push for an accessible education standard. So tell me a little bit about the latest happenings with the push to create an accessible education standard.
Okay, well, we have a third of a million students with special education needs in our publicly funded schools around Ontario, and even that number grows even more if you include students with disabilities in college or university or preschool or job training programs, different aspects of our education system. And they face barriers in their efforts to try to get an education, barriers in getting in the school, around the school, barriers, accessibility barriers in the curriculum. Teachers aren't necessarily trained to teach them. Digital accessibility barriers with the technology used in the classroom and so on. And up until now, the Ontario government never had a plan to deal with this. It was left to every parent, every school, every teacher to have to figure their own way out, each reinventing the wheel, and in the case of families, having to battle these barriers one at a time, one school board at a time, one school at a time, or one college or university. And that makes no sense. So we've been pushing the province for quite some time to develop an education accessibility standard under Ontario's Disabilities Act. That would be a regulation that tells colleges and universities and schools and preschools and other educational organizations what barriers they got to remove and when to ensure that they become a barrier-free educational organization. Last December, December 5th, Premier Wynne, to her credit, finally agreed. So how are we doing? Well, they've been dragging their feet for months and months. The first step in getting that standard developed would be to post an ad to invite people to apply to be on the Standards Development Committee that will craft recommendations for the government on what this new regulation should include. They should have had that ad out by like the middle of January, but they didn't even start announcing it until late May, and only set a deadline like weeks later. It's like the slow molasses approach to addressing these problems. People have up until the 31st of July to apply, and we encourage people who have expertise in the area to apply. I myself have applied, as I'm the chair of the AODA Alliance, and I'm also the chair of the Special Education Advisory Committee of the Toronto District School Board. So we need lots of other people applying to try to get on this committee.
So
go ahead.
So in terms of the applications, what sorts of expertise are you hoping to bring to the table?
Well, they want people to apply who've got experience of the barriers that students with disabilities face at all levels or any level of our education system. And we want the deadline for submitting an application is the 31st of July, and we want them to get this committee selected, appointed, and up and running by the end of the summer. The next thing that's important is the government has launched an online survey to learn from the public what accessibility barriers students with disabilities face in our education system. Well, that's a good idea. But there are two, and we encourage anybody out there, whether you're a parent, student, educator, to go online and fill out that survey. If you want information on any of this, the best way to find it at a glance is to go to our webpage on education. I'm going to give you the website. It's www.aodaalliance.org/education. And you'll see, if you look at the links, we talk about the survey and where to go to fill it out and so on. Well, there are two problems with the survey. They ask about five areas where there are barriers. But the five areas they decide to ask about are just a small slice of the many barriers that people, students with disabilities face in the education system. They really narrowed the focus far, far, far too much. Now, fortunately, the government survey also says, let us know about any other barriers. Well, if you go to that same webpage, we have action tips for anyone who wants to fill it out, and we list a bunch of other areas that we encourage people to focus on. So you can look at our action tips if you go to www.aodaalliance.org/education. You'll see our action tips for filling out the survey. We give ideas of what people might want to add to that survey when they fill it out. Our other major worry is the government seems to be bent on wanting to hogtie the Standards Development Committee before it even starts at work. They said they want the survey results so they can essentially dictate what kind of barriers the committee can even consider recommending changes to. And that's wrong. That's completely wrong. The government should set up this committee and say, tell us about the barriers in the education system, and we're not going to pre-decide which ones we want to hear about We want to hear about whatever you have to advise us about. And the government will ultimately have a final say on what they put in the regulation. But they shouldn't try to muzzle or hogtie the advisory committee before he even sits down at the table to look at our education system and itself decide what needs to be fixed.
So if you could send any message to the community about the need for it to be nothing about us without us, what would you say?
I'd say get online immediately. Go to our website, find the link to the government survey, fill out the survey, but don't limit yourself to the five areas of education barriers that the government wants to channel our discussion into, because it diverts us away from many, if not the majority, of barriers in the education system. Tell them about all the barriers, whatever kind, that you know students with disabilities have faced. Tell your own story, or your child's story, or your sibling's story, whatever it may be, and let them know about all the problems that need to be fixed, not just the five that they're asking you about.
I'd like to thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
Sure.
Folks, I don't know if I can put this politely, so I won't. Five different types of accessibility barriers. Five, because there are only five different types a person might face. Indeed, that is unbelievably limiting. The fact is, there are so many things that can be improved upon. In some cases, it can be just as simple as widening a doorway or making sure that the wheelchair button is working correctly. Overuse of that can wear out the servo. It can be just maintenance-related things. Put up a braille sign. It cannot be a matter of, we say these are the issues, therefore, these are the only issues. The truth of the matter is, people with disabilities need to get the word out about what really matters to them. For those of you who have heard this show over a long period of time, you might remember the story by an anonymous contributor about some of the education difficulties she faced. Being a person who's transgendered and who has a disability on top of that, things were put up as roadblocks in many ways for this person. And at times, they didn't know what recourse they had or how to face it. But developing a universal education standard, something we can say, this is the law, it will be enforced, these are the standards, we have to do right by these people. That will take all the guesswork out. It no longer would be a judgment call. I think, in my opinion, as a teacher of 2-3 years, that this is accessible, that I'm catering to all my students' needs. How can you possibly know that unless you sit down with them and ask the question, are your education needs being met? Do you find the building easy enough to get around? Do you find that there is acceptance and understanding about not just your condition, but your learning style, who and what you are? The fact is, you can't just assume that there are only five barriers in the world. You can't just dictate to a person what they can and cannot say is a problem. David is exactly right. The fact of the matter is, it's about what is real, what the real barriers are. And yeah, it may take time, it may take financial resources to combat them. But what right do we have as a people to withhold that? What right do we have to say, especially in education, we're going to favor this, that, or the other, and shun you aside simply because you might need a wider door frame to get through, or a ramp to get into the building, or that a teacher might actually have to spend some time working with you, getting to know you, getting to know your learning style? Yes, teachers are overworked and underpaid in many cases, but It is still their job. It is their responsibility. If a student comes in to an academic facility, what do they expect? They expect to learn, to grow, to understand, and to be understood. It's gotten to a point where education and service providing for people with disabilities, in many ways, is just on the assembly line plan. See how many clients we can quickly diagnose and get out in a day. It's not about that. It is about the individual story. It is about taking the time, taking the effort to say, I recognize that you are meant to be and to create so much more. And the truth is, disability can strike anyone, anytime. And those in power who are limiting this may ultimately be tying their own hands. Because if we're not there for the people when they need us, how can they be there for us when we need them? But the fact is, you have to think beyond your own scope in disability life. That's what it's all about. Taking the impossible, turning it on its face, and creating something new. Disability life and innovation is a matter of taking what wasn't there before and making it possible. An education standard is key to this, simply because education is the framework. It's the ground floor of all innovation. Yes, these days we want it good, fast, and cheap all at the same time. It's not how it works. The computer can find you a lot of answers, but it cannot account for the simple fact that we all need to know something. We all need to be educated to one degree or another. We all need to be people of understanding and people of conscience to recognize the value, the potential, the humanity of our own kind. And if we can't do that, then we have learned nothing. The government dragging its feet, that's fine for them. They're in positions of power. They have their education. But for those who are struggling in school and need the extra help, who has a teacher who just says, yeah, go out, look up the answers. The answer didn't make sense the first time. Reading the textbook for the same answer that would make no sense is not going to help in all likelihood. It's a matter of the teachers, the support staff, sitting down with the student and saying, why don't you understand this, and how can I help you bridge that gap? Fact is, denying education is denying the rights of a person with a disability. But it's not just that. If any group is cast aside in education, they're not going to grow up knowing their own rights, how to assert them, how to be players on this world stage of ours. It's groups like Disability Rights Promotion International. They're doing a great service to people with disabilities. They're out there in the world, and they're saying, this exists, this can be done. And honestly, they really are putting rights there where knowledge did not exist before. If you're someone with a story of disability life, write HandyLink 4, HANDILINK, numeral 4, @gmail.com. Always love to hear from you folks at home. Going forward, we cannot allow progress to be stagnant for anyone, with a disability or without. Education is a right of all to know who we are and what the world really is to us. This has been HandyLink. I'm your host, Cam Wells, reminding you we're all equal. So get on out there and have yourselves a good one. Something tells me you've earned it, folks. We'll see you next week.